I believe that every single one of us are called. Now, obviously, not everyone is called to be a pastor. It's a very specific calling. But you have a very specific calling according to your very specific personality, your very specific gifts and abilities. I want to share with you four stories this morning about being called. The thought occurred to me, I don't know if I've ever spoken to you my calling. Let me tell you about it. When I was 8 years old, things changed, and it all had to do with my grandmother. I only had one grandparent. My grandmother lived hundreds of miles away. We were never close to her. And every year, as we would go up once, maybe on a good year I'd see her twice, beginning when I was 8 years old, she started to say something different. When she had all four of us kids in the kitchen, she would say, which one of you is going to be a minister? I have no idea, as I look back, why she said this. My dad was a pastor, but so what? You know, why didn't she ask me which one of you is going to be a welder? Which one of you is going to be a musician? She didn't ask. It was always the same words. Which one of you is going to be a minister? I don't know what my two brothers and my sister heard. But I do know that I heard that. I always heard that. Now, flash forward. I'm 14 years old. One day, I was walking through the kitchen, and my dad was there, and he said, Hey, Scott, I want to talk to you a minute. And we stood in the kitchen, and he said, have you ever considered being a pastor? And I said, I don't know. How do you respond to that? I don't know. I'm 14. I had no idea what he saw in me at the age of 14. Now, as an adult, I can meet a 14-year-old and I can tell you exactly what my dad was looking for and what he was seeing. But at that point, I had no idea. And my dad said, well, I just want you to know, if you'd ever decide to do that, you'd be good at it. Really? That was it. That was the end of the conversation, but I never forgot that. 2 years later. All right. Donna's family, are you ready for this? No. Donna has promised to cry through much of this service, so let's just begin now, shall we? All right. I was 16 years old, and I was at the South Dakota State United Methodist Youth Rally on the campus of Dakota Wesleyan. And on that night, that Friday night speaker was really powerful. He was talking to us about the call. And it was so helpful. It helped me understand so much more about what it means and what it doesn't mean. And after it was done, I stood around in that old gymnasium at DWU, and I was talking with my friends, and then it was time to leave. So I turned around and I headed for the door, and a pastor made a beeline right straight for me. It was Jerry Wickery. This is Donna's brother-in-law. And Jerry stopped me and he said, Scott, have you ever considered ministry? Because I think that you need to consider that. Never ever will I forget the loving touch of Jerry Wickery. That was the first time that somebody outside of my family had spoken the words of call to me. It was that simple. 5 years later, I'm 21. By this time, I have had a powerful spiritual awakening face to face with God, and the power of God was beginning to flow in new ways through me. And on Easter morning of my 21st year, I preached my first sermon. 5 years later, now I'm 26. And by this time, I'm a certified lay speaker. And by this time, I'm working in the government of the church. And by this time, I'm becoming more and more skilled in what I'm doing. And I received the last part of my call. I want you to see this. From the time I was 8 years old to the time I was 26, 18 years until I answered that final call. And all along the way, it was my grandmother, and it was my father, and it was Pastor Jerry, and it was, and it was, and it was, and it was all these people who surrounded me and loved me and gave me that encouragement. That's what the call looks like. The call doesn't let you go. And when God is giving you a call, God just keeps knocking on the door, and people help you hear that knock. Now, let me tell you about Gene Fasnacht. Gene Fasnacht was called, not as a pastor. All right, so I'm sitting in my office one day, and who should walk through the door but Bob Sorensen? Bob Sorensen was one of the farmers in our congregation, and in his hand, he had a ripped-out page from a magazine. It was a United Methodist magazine, and it was an article about United Methodist Volunteers in Mission, UMVIM. And he handed me the paper, and he said, "You know what? I saw this, and I thought of Gene. Would you give this to Gene?" I have no idea why he didn't give it to Gene. He gave it to me. So I said, "Absolutely, I will do that." And I put it right there on my desk for 6 months. It stayed there collecting dust. I always forgot to give it to him, and Well, one day, Gene Fasnacht walks in my door. And I said, oh, Gene, while you're here, Bob wants you to have this. And I gave him that dusty article. Long and short of the story, 5 months later, Colleen and I and Gene and his wife Gloria are down in Haiti building a school. That was a powerful moment for us. It was even more powerful for Gene. Gene never left. He would go back and he would work in his day job, and he was a part-time rancher, and so he was a busy man. But since that time, Gene has been back into Haiti 30 or 40 times. He has built homes. He has built schools. He has built lives. He has godchildren that are named after him down in Haiti. Gene's calling came through a farmer bringing me a ripped out page of a magazine, and I simply said, "Here, Gene, that's what the call looks like." Because God knocks on the door in very, very different ways. Are we ready? Are we listening? Because God is calling you. Well, let me tell you about Donna Gollier. Now, I have not interviewed her previous to this with this information, nor have I warned her that I was going to do this. Here's what I know, and you're welcome to tell me when I'm wrong. Okay? And now I'm going to ask you some names. Okay? Yes. Now, the first name you're going to have to know, I want to know who your first piano teacher was. All right. Here's what I... She's thinking. Here is what I know about Donna Gollier, because I know this about every piano player and organist. There was a day when lovely Donna, as a child, a very small child, wandered up to a piano and she started plunking. Am I right so far? Yeah. And then what I know is that there was a day when her mom and her dad said, "Ooh, this girl needs piano lessons." And so they got her her first piano teacher and she had her first lesson. Do you remember her name at all? It was Aunt Helen. How old do you think you were? Yeah. First grade, 6 or 7 years old. Now, here's what I know. Obviously, I wasn't there. But she started taking lessons, and you know what? She was pretty darn good. And she took to it. Now, Donna is always very, very open to telling us that when we say you're Methodist, no. She is United Methodist, but she is Evangelical United Brethren. She came out of Kansas, out of the German side of our tradition. Donna, I would like to know, the first hymnal that you opened up, was it the Evangelical hymnal?
Yes, it was green.
There we go. I knew it. It was the green evangelical, even before the EUB was the E, the evangelicals. And there was a day when Donna sat down at the piano and she opened up that first hymn. Did you try to play your favorite hymn first? I'm guessing, okay, if I can guess, I'm guessing that it was your favorite hymn and you said, "Gather at the River." And Donna started very slowly learning how to plunk that out. Hymns are hard. And she got it, and she played it over and over and over again, and her mom heard, and her mom told her pastor, and eventually her pastor heard, and she had, by that time, turned the page, and she learned another hymn, and then she turned the page, and she learned another hymn, and the day came when that first pastor said, "Donna, I think you're ready. Would you be willing to play for a worship service? Would you be willing to do church with us?" Do you remember when that was? Pastor McGregor. I knew it. I knew you'd remember. Because you don't forget these things. There was a day, a Sunday morning, when she was in her home church and she sat at the keyboard. Was it piano or organ?
Piano.
And she played her first prelude. And that seemed to go okay. And then Pastor McGregor opened worship, and she played her first hymn. Who would have thunk that at the beginning of that, if you could just look into the future and to say, generations and decades from now, we would be at this moment. You do not play that much. You do not lead a congregation in worship for that many years with it just being something you kind of sort of like to do. This is Donna's calling. This is Donna's ministry. Donna has worked with us since 1974. It has been 44 years. I am her seventh pastor just here. And heaven knows how many she's had to break in before then. This, my friends, is what a calling looks like. It's a passion, it's a joy, it's hard work, and this is what a calling looks like. Fourth story. There was a boy, his name was Samuel. And Samuel was working for Eli. Eli was the priest, not down in the temple in Jerusalem, up north in Shiloh. And one night, as this 8, 9, 10-year-old boy was sleeping in the dark, a voice came to him, "Samuel, Samuel." He got up and he ran over to Eli and said, "Yes, sir, what do you need?" Any of you like being woken up in the middle of the night? And Eli said, "Oh, nothing. Go to bed." He went to bed. "Samuel, Samuel." He got up and ran to Eli, and Eli said, "Are you bothering me again? Go away. Go to bed." And so he went back, and he heard the voice again, "Samuel, Samuel." He had no idea what the voice of God was. He had no idea. He had not had direct contact with this yet. And he ran to Eli, and he said, "Yes, sir, what?" And Eli said, "Go to bed." "Oh, wait a minute. I know what this is." Well, of course he did. Eli had heard the voice of God. Eli had wrestled with this earlier in his life. And he said, "All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go back to bed, and when that voice calls your name again, you say, 'Yes, Lord, speak. Your servant is listening.'" Samuel. Samuel. "Yes, Lord, speak. Your servant is listening." This is what it means to be called. And I want you to see that Samuel was not called to be an ordained pastor. Samuel was called to be Samuel. Rabbi Heschel once said, "When I die and go to meet God face to face, God is not going to say to me, 'Why were you not more like Moses?' God is going to say to me, 'Why were you not more like Heschel?'" Are you ready to simply be the person that God has created you to be? Emmett has been created to be a perfect Emmett. Landry has been created to be a perfect Landry. With all the problems, scars, warts, wrinkles, foibles, everything that goes along with being human. I want you to see this story. Let's talk about Samuel. You get to be Samuel in this story. You get to be the one who is called. Every single one of us is called from the moment that we are born to the moment we die. You know what? Every Wednesday afternoon, I go up to Dorset Home and I spend time with Grace Huck. She is such a dear, dear friend of mine. Today, she is 101 years, 11 months, and 7 days. She's going, she has 3 weeks left, and she makes 102. Every Wednesday we talk, every Wednesday we pray, and every prayer ends like this, as Grace says, "Give me the power and the wisdom and the discernment to live today. Lord, use me. Use me." 101 years, 11 months, 7 days. Lord, use me. There is not a moment in your life, no matter how old you will live to be, when God is not ready to use you to be you. What is it that you are called to do and to be? This is what we're about. Let me tell you about the call. Here is the best way that I know of to explain. When God calls you, God puts a doorway in front of you and says, "Walk through the door." Now, you have the choice. Are you going to walk through it or are you not? You have the choice. Are you going to walk through it now or are you going to walk through it later? And you walk through the door and God says, "Good job. Thank you." You're simply being obedient to God. You're simply following God's call. And there, you got through the door and you're first thinking, "Yay, I succeeded. I walked through the door." And lo and behold, there's another door. And God says, "Good. Walk through the door." And so eventually you decide to walk through the door. And there, yay, I did it, I walked through the door. And there are 4 doors. Now you're in a quandary. Now you don't know what to do. Which door should I walk through? Here's what I can tell you. God is already waiting on the other side of that door. Doesn't matter which one you pick, God's already there. What happens if you pick the wrong door? All right. For those of you who have ever had this experience, you needed a new job. You interviewed for a job and you got the job. They gave it to you and you said, "This is the perfect job for me." And you walked through the door and you discovered that this job is terrible. Within 3 months, you cannot wait to quit. The people are horrible. The job is horrible. It was the wrong door. God was already there. On the other side of the wrong door. Did you know that in order to be fulfilled, knowing how God is calling you, sometimes you have to find out where God is not calling you. And you went and you tried that job. For me, that job was working at Taco John's. I love Taco John's. And let me tell you, I have a huge amount of respect for those behind the counter on Taco John's, because that's hard work. And I hated it. It was a bad move. But let me tell you, I grew and I learned. And any chance that I have an opportunity to build up those who are working at Taco John's, thank you, workers, because you're doing what I'm not good at. Yeah. I had to learn what not to do in order to learn what to do. There are days when we are called to be Samuel. You are called to be Samuel, to simply follow God's word. But now, listen to this, because here's where the important part comes. You are also called to be Eli. Samuel could not have answered God's call if he had not had the wisdom of Eli to say, "Go back to bed," and simply answer, "Yes, Lord. Your servant is listening." He gave Samuel the guidance that was needed. You are Eli. Have you ever met a doctor who was called by God into that field? Yes. You've met those physicians that just drive you crazy, and you've met those physicians who are Christ-centered, godly people, that they're not there for a paycheck. They're there because it's their calling. Have you ever met a teacher? Absolutely you have, and some of you are this teacher, who very point blank will step up and say, "I'm not in it for the paycheck. This is my calling." This is what God has equipped that teacher to do. Have you ever met a plumber who is a godly man, Not a man who's just there to do shoddy work and get an overpriced paycheck, but a plumber who was there because this is what he's good at. This is what God has equipped him to do. And God is making it so that that person, that plumber, he or she comes into your house and in Christ-centered is kind and open, fair, does great work, and charges you a fair price. That's a calling. And sometimes there's a calling that says, I want you to go deeper. I want you to go deeper into the church. I want you to go deeper into your faith. I want you to go into ministry. Or I want you to go into leadership. Or I want you to go into... God's calling happens in so many different ways. And it never ends. How will anyone know unless you tell them? You are Eli. How many times have you ever said to somebody, oh my goodness, you're really good at plumbing and I love your faith. Will you go? We have a young man in this congregation who is called to be a politician. Are you watching for those godly, Christ-centered politicians out there? We've got one right in our midst. Oh my goodness. And to be able to say, I recognize it. I see it. You are called. Go, go, go. And God is never done. But you have to be encouraging those people. When is the last time that you said to somebody, I think you'd be good at this. I think you should consider this. This is what I see in you. This is what I'm calling out from you. I want to invite you to take these two pieces of paper. Start with the salmon one. All right, my friends, here's the deal. We're at the point in our church where we're redoing our service teams. Oh, we always do this. The life of a church always functions around those who help make the church go. And so what we're asking is, are there those of you who would like to be a welcome host or a sound tech or a slide operator or a lay reader? You see this all the time. It's just very, very common. So I asked in early worship one of my five-year-olds, I said, Ariana, could you be a welcoming host? Because here's what it involves. Just read the back. I said, you stand out there, and when people come in the door, you welcome them, and you give them coffee, and you smile at them, and you give them a donut hole. And she said, donut holes? Ariana, can you do that? Yeah. And her brother said, yeah, she'll eat them all. Let me ask you, how are you at giving people a cup of coffee and a donut hole? How are you on a Sunday morning at welcoming? Just smiling and say, hey, glad you're here. Now, let me ask you this. This is how our church runs. This is how we function. If we don't have these teams, we don't function. Oh. What would hold you back from saying, I think God might be calling me to hand out donut holes. I think God might be calling me on a Sunday morning to help, to read, what is it that you're good at? What is it that fits? I believe that God is calling you to start in some very small and wonderful ways. But now, this is a Samuel page. God is calling you to come and help. But this, the green one, this is an Eli page. Look at this card. This week in annual conference, I am taking all of these green cards to annual conference with me. And we are going to put all of these names together from all around North and South Dakota. There are going to be thousands of names of people that we believe are called into ministry, called into helping, called into serving, called into deeper faith. I commit to join others in prayer that this person, just a first name. And then we are going to pray, would hear and respond to God's call. I will do what I can to help them on their journey. Eli. That's what we're asking you to be, is Eli. What is your first and last name? What church are you in? And what's your contact information? How can we bring you into the circle and help you pray? This is part of our offering this morning. What is it that you want to do? What is it that you see in others that you want them to do? I want to invite you to become Samuel. I want to invite you to become Eli, because it's a calling. And we are constantly lifting up new leadership, constantly saying, I see God at work in your life. I see God moving in you. This is who we are. This is what we do. So may it be this week that you have the ability to respond to God as Samuel. May it be that you have the ability to respond to God as Eli, calling others to serve. May it be. In Christ's name, may it be. Amen. Would you pray with me? So, Lord, you created us. We're not perfect, but we're enough. We have all the gifts and skills that you need. And so we ask, Lord, that you would raise us up, guide us, help us, challenge us in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.